our town.
Hello, neighbors, and welcome back to Nightmare Town. We are Betty Boom.
And I'm Mandemonium.
And let's just jump into it. This week we are doing
Mist.
Was that sent in by a specific Monium, or...
I don't remember which Monium sent that in, but...
Thanks, Moniums.
Thanks, Moniums. Sorry, I can't remember who sent in what, but that was a long time ago that we picked those topics.
That is very true. We also, you might hear some lawn maintenance happening in the residual audio.
How does that happen?
I can hear it, so maybe they can hear. I don't know.
Of course, I guess this is, like, the only time we've ever recorded when it's not been, like, almost 10 p.m.
That's true, because it's morning time.
It's morning, which is different.
It's so different. I don't hate it. It's just... I think I said in the last episode I was about to have a new position at work, and I have that new position, but along with that new position... there are different work hours, and where I'm in training, it's longer work hours. And so this was a happy happenstance that we were even going to be able to record, because I have not been getting home until like 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, that's too late for Amanda.
you're right.
It's like, we can't record that late, and then me be like, hey, it's midnight, go home, bye.
Yeah, I can't just, like, walk home anymore.
I know.
And I have terrible night vision.
So, it just kind of happened that I don't have to go until later today, and I was like, this is the day.
Yes, and it happened that my schedule has been free lately, because unemployed life still, but, you know.
So, if you're looking for someone super awesome, send us your resume.
Send us your resume.
How do you like them apples? Give me a description of your job, I'll pass it on to Amanda, and be like, eh? Employment?
you like this?
You don't like that. You don't want them. You want me to hit them? No? Okay. But yeah, so I'm real tired, guys, but we're going to play with it.
We're both a little tired. We're both waiting on our allergy things to kick in.
Dude, my eyes are so puffy. I'm not used to that.
Yeah, I had one eye burning this morning, but it's okay now, I think. I think my Claritin's finally doing its job. Thankfully.
I literally just rolled out of bed whenever Amanda got here and made coffee and then took my vitamins, because it's important to take your vitamins.
Yes, it is.
And took an allergy pill, which I don't normally do, so. Also, it's Bella's scratchy season, which it's always Bella's scratchy season, but it's been worse, so get over it.
Just learn to love the little jingly sounds you hear.
Yeah, because just know it's Bella, and she's super freaking cute.
She is.
But we're going to jump into it. Our episode this week is called Mist, and I'm starting. So, I kind of love our topics, because every time I finally figure out what I want to do, before I actually start researching it, I just send Amanda, like, a one or two word thing, just being like, eh? Does this ring any bells? Because if it does, we're doing
is
the same thing.
Is it related?
If it does, then that means that you and I are recovering the same thing, and I don't want to put in the time and effort just to not be able to do what I want. What I really, really want.
So tell me what you want.
What I really, really want.
Don't come for us.
Or do.
Copyright strikers.
Please don't. Okay. So I know that you like spooky video games.
Yes.
Have you ever played Silent Hill?
Oh my, yes. Definitely been a nurse on Halloween, Silent Hill inspired nurse for Halloween.
Oh, is there a picture of that on our Instagram? I know one year we did like our favorite Halloween costumes.
You know, I don't remember.
Possibly. Go back on our Instagram
Maybe.
And check.
We'll have to look. It's been a minute. Mama Monium is a huge video game Silent Hill fan. She's actually the one that introduced me to it, so. We do love the video games. They terrify me, but they're fun to play. I just get scared easily playing.
Could you tell our neighbors a bit about it? Because I'm a wimp and I don't play scary video games or watch scary movies without, you know, watching 12 hours of Disney to get it off my soul.
Okay, so the gist is, like, each Silent Hill game, you know, kind of follows a different character. I'm most familiar with Silent Hill 3, follows a girl named Heather. Won't get deep into the plot or anything, because we'd be here all day and you've got to work later. But as soon as you said Silent Hill, my brain was like, oh, that's perfect, because for anybody that's unaware, Silent Hill is very well known for having a very misty, thick, foggy atmosphere, which makes the games creepy.
That's actually what made me choose to talk about this, because this is not my actual topic. This is much like last week, where I wanted to touch on something and then go into another thing. But in my brain, whenever I heard Mist, I went, Mist, Wraithmarsh, Silent Hill, this one thing I'm going to talk about. So, you don't know Wraithmarsh is from Fable? Yes.
Oh, I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've played Fable.
It's from Fable. I hate it.
Fable 2 was a great game, though.
I think it's from Fable 2. It's the one with the werewolf thingies. And, like, eventually you have to go into the crypt, and then you have to choose to either make someone else old or yourself old.
I don't remember. All I remember is the ending choice of the game, and that the community in the game as a whole was unhappy with my choice.
You choose your dog?
I did choose my
dog. I did too!
And they were like, you could literally save so many people. And I was like, I don't care. You made me bond with this dog the entire game, and then you kill it off. So,
and not only that, but also, you can't show me where to dig.
Exactly.
The dog does. Dog serves a purpose.
Yes, he's very useful, and my friend.
So, in April of 2006, the games were adapted into a movie, and despite not getting good reviews, Rotten Tomatoes is quoted as saying visually impressive, but as with many video game adaptations, it's plagued with inane dialogue and muddled plot, and an overlong runtime. That didn't stop it from gaining a $72 million profit, and a sequel released in 2012, Silent Hill Revelation, which I did not know was a thing.
Oh, okay. I remember that now. I never actually saw it, but I do remember it existing.
But did you know that the town of Silent Hill, West Virginia, was based on a real town in the United States?
I did not know that.
Yes!
All I know is that the mist in those games, or the fog in those games, was created basically to cover up, like, load screens and, like, culling things out in the video game.
Very nice.
But it ended up working in their favor.
So, in the movies, they explain the mist away as, Silent Hill, West Virginia, it was a coal town, and the coal got caught on fire, and so the mist is actually coal fire.
Okay.
Centralia, Pennsylvania, became a coal town in 1865, and from that point on, things were dicey at best. The town grew around the mine, and the owners of the mine/land grew richer and richer. A prominently Irish gang, the Molly Maggeries, which I don't know if I'm saying that right. If I'm not, please don't hurt me, set up residence in the town and caused all kinds of mischief, from trying to form a union, get decent wages and safer working conditions for the Irish immigrants working in the mines, to straight up murdering the town's founder, Alexander Ray, in his buggy. So, like, on one hand, it's like, yeah, no, that's great. Yes, unionize, you know, safer work conditions, because people are dying in mines all the time. That's a thing. Murder?
Just the one person had to take it a little too far.
It was three guys, and they were all convicted and hung. They even made the mistake of assaulting the town's first Roman Catholic priest, Father Daniel Ignatius McDermott.
That's a name.
I know, that's why I put it in there. I just wanted to say it. Who then cursed the land. Many of the Molly Morrigan's leaders were hung in 1877, ending their crime. Legend says that a number of the descendants of the Molly Maggeries still lived in Centralia up until the 1980s. According to numbers of federal census records, the town of Centralia reached a maximum population of 2,761 in 1890. At its peak, the town had 7 churches, 5 hotels, 27 saloons, 2 theaters, a bank, a post office, and 14 general stores. 37 years later, the production of some sort of some sort of coal. Anthracite.
We're not coal people.
We're not. We live in the Appalachia. So, anyway, 37 years later, the production of coal had reached its peak in Pennsylvania. In the following years, production declined as many young miners from Centralia enlisted in the military when the U.S. entered World War I. Let's jump ahead. So I'm pretty much going to read straight from the wiki on this one. I started doing the deep dive, like, writing my own shit. But then I also started falling asleep, and I'm like, okay, if I'm going to give them any information whatsoever, I'm just going to have to hope that my inflection is good. I did cherry pick the parts that I liked the best, so if you don't like my research, go watch a fucking documentary.
Or stick around here. I mean, that's fine. We're a little more spunky and entertaining than a documentary.
I am sleepy and narrator. Sassy today. That's all. Like I said, like, the new position at work, it's longer hours, and it's kicking my ass, guys. I don't even want to think about, like...
She only had, like, one spoon left to even record this podcast today, so...
And it's the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about
what's going to be like in school. She's still finishing her coffee. Starts.
I am. I have, like, half of it down. And it's not even a big cup. It's just, like, a normal... Well, it's my bigger cup. It's
coffee and vitamins, all you need.
So, my cup says, Meow Chicken Meow Meow on it.
I love it.
It has roar inside. I love novelty.
It's a very chaotic cup. It really
is. This is me. I'm fighty today, so... Sorry, not sorry. Okay.
Anyway, back to your wiki reading.
Mm. So, on May 7th of 1962, the Centralia Council met to discuss the approaching Memorial Day and how the town would go about cleaning up the Centralia landfill, which was introduced earlier that year. The 300-foot-wide, 70-foot-long pit was made up of a 50-foot-deep strip mine that had been cleaned by Edward Whitney in 1935 and came very close to the northeast corner of Old Fellows Cemetery. There were 8 illegal dumps spread about Centralia, and the council's intentions in creating the landfill was to stop the illegal dumping, as new state regulations had forced the town to close an earlier dump west of St. Ignatius Cemetery. So, my boy Ignatius got his own cemetery. I really fucking love that name, Ignatius.
All I can remember is...
It has the audacity.
An excerpt, like a scene from that old show, Cat Dog. I don't know if you remember that.
I barely remember Cat Dog.
Well, in the cartoon, there's like these 3 dogs that are like bullies, basically, like the antagonists. But one of them, his name is Lube for some reason, but it turns out that his name is really Ignatius. And all I can remember is one of the other bully dogs singing, that Lube's name is Ignatius, and taunting him about it. I mean, I don't remember anything about the episode at all, but that little plays in my head just like randomly.
I don't never think you should fuck with a guy whose name is Ignatius.
Right?
I feel like he's very likely to stab you.
Probably.
Or curse your lands. But trustees at the cemetery were opposed to the landfill's proximity to the cemetery, but recognized the illegal dumping elsewhere was a serious problem and envisioned that the new pit would resolve it. Pennsylvania had passed a precautionary law in 1956 to regulate landfill use in strip mines, as landfills were known to cause destructive mine fires. The law required a permit and regular inspections by the multi-capacity to use such a pit. George Segretis, a regional landfill inspector who worked for the Department of Mines and Mineral Industries, DMMI, became concerned about the pit when he noticed holes in the walls and floor, as such mines often cut through older mines underneath. George informed Joseph Thai, a Centralia councilman, that the pit would require filling with an incombustible material. The town council arranged for cleanup of the strip mine dump, but council minutes do not describe the proposed procedure. Who the fuck is Decock?
I'm still thinking about the dude whose last name is Thigh.
I mean, some dude's name is Decock.
True.
Anyway, we're just gonna go with it. Again, we don't...
Just rolling with it.
Yeah. There's some guy named Decock. Surmised that the process, setting it on fire, was not specified because state law prohibited dump fires. Nonetheless, the Centralia Council set a date and hired 5 members of the Volunteer Firefighter Company to clean up the landfill. A fire was ignited to clean the dump on May 27, 1962, and water was used to douse the visible flames that night. However, flames were seen once more on May 29th, using hoses hooked up to the Locust Avenue, because, you know, why would you name a street Locust?
Isn't it's just plague? Like asking for a plague.
It's a plague. We just got done with one of those. Another attempt was made to douse the fire that night. Another flare-up in the following weeks, June 4th, caused the Centralia Fire Company to once again douse it with hoses. A bulldozer stirred up the garbage so that firemen could douse concealed layers of the burning waste. A few days later, a hole as wide as 15 feet and several feet high was found at the base of the north wall of the pit. Garbage had concealed the hole and prevented it from being filled with incombustible material. It is possible that this hole led to the mine fire, as it provided a pathway to the labyrinth of old mines under the borough. Evidence indicates that despite these efforts to douse the fire, the landfill continued to burn. On July 2nd, Munsinger, I have no idea what that word even means, William J. Burke, complained about foul odors from the smoldering trash and coal reaching St. Ignatius Church. Even then, the Centralia Council still allowed the dumping of garbage into the pit. So, they had this pit that was full of just trash. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to burn it. You know, we both grew up in the South. I'm sure that you guys had a burn pit.
Everybody had one of those.
I mean, we have a burn pit. I remember whenever we moved into the property that my mom lives at right now, they dug a burn pit. And you just throw shit in there. You set it on fire.
Yeah.
Welcome to the South. It's what we do. But, so they had this big pit, which used to be a mine, and they apparently filled it with incombustible stuff, set it on fire, and then found out that there were holes in the walls that led to the old mine shafts that were filled with coal and coal dust.
Oh.
And so they tried using water to, like, maintain the flames, or, you know, push them back. But it was already in the mines. So they kept seeing flare-ups where the trash that they were still allowing people to throw into that pit was just re-catching on fire. So that's where we're at.
Great.
Yep. Clarence Mooch Kashner, the president of the Independent Miners, Berkman and Truckers Union, came at the invitation of the council members to inspect the situation in Centralia. Kashner evaluated the events and called Gordon Smith, an engineer of the Department of Mines and Mineral Industries, that's the DMMI thingy, office in Pottsville. Smith told the town that he could dig out the smoldering material using a steam shovel for $175. A call was placed to Art Joyce, a mine inspector from Mount Clement, who brought gas detection equipment for use on the swirling wisp of smoke now emanating from ground fissures in the north wall of the landfill pit. Tests concluded that the gas seeping from the large hole in the pit wall was from cracks in the northern wall containing carbon monoxide concentrations typical of coal mine fires. So now there's carbon monoxide
Great.
Happening.
Great. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So, I just need to know how they resolve this. Like, this sounds like it's just getting worse and worse.
Do you want me to skip ahead?
Their issue. No. Okay. Keep going.
I'll tell you.
I would love to hear the rest.
The Centralia Council sent a letter to the Lehigh Valley Coal Company as formal notice of the fire. So they're telling more people, like, hey, this is happening. It is speculated that the town council decided that hiding the true origin of the fire would serve better than alerting the LVCC of the truth, which would most likely end in receiving no help from them. In the letter, they brought The Burrow described the starting of the fire of unknown origin during a period of unusually hot weather.
It's always an unknown origin, mysterious fires.
Oh, yeah.
They always say that. They're like, oh, we don't know how it started.
I mean, obviously they don't listen to Smokey the Bear. Because
clearly not.
Only you can prevent forest fires. Or in this case, mine fires by not setting trash on fire inside of them. I am in a mood. Preceding an August 6th meeting at the fire site, which would include officials from the LVCC and the Saskatchewan Coal Company. I think I said that.
Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
Sorry, Canada.
I'm sorry, Canada. I love you. Deputy Secretary of Mines James Schotter Sr. expected that the representatives would inform him they could not afford mounting a project that would stop the mine fire. Therefore, Sauter announced that he expected the state to finance the cost of digging out the fire, which was, at the time, around $30,000, roughly equivalent to $2,570,000 in 2020. I don't know why I said it like that. That's happened several times recently. Another offer was made at the meeting proposed by Centralia strip mine operator Alonzo Sanchez, who told members of council that he would dig out the mine fire free of charge as long as he could claim any coal he recovered without paying royalties to the Lehigh Valley Coal Company. Part of Sanchez's plan was to do exploratory drilling to estimate the scope of the mine fire, which was most likely why Sanchez's offer was rejected at the meeting. The drilling would have delayed the project, not to mention the legal problems with mining rights. At the time, state mine inspectors were in the Centralia area mines almost daily to check for lethal levels of carbon monoxide. Lethal levels were found on August 9th, and all Centralia area mines were closed the next day. After this, many attempts to put out the fire... I was obviously very tired when I wrote this sentence. After this, many attempts to put out the fire were made, but they all failed. Okay, this is DeCock. Okay, David DeCock began reporting on the mine fire for the news item in Smokanon beginning in late 1976. Between 1976 and 1986, he wrote over 500 articles about the mine fire. In 1979, locals became aware of the scale of the problem when a gas station owner, then Mayor John Coddington, inserted a dipstick into one of his underground tanks to check the fuel level. When he withdrew it, it seemed hot. He lowered a thermometer into the tank on a string and was shocked to discover that the temperature of the gasoline in the tank was 172 degrees Fahrenheit.
Did he then promptly move very far away from this gas tank? Like,
the wiki didn't tell me. Wiki didn't tell me, but God, I hope so. Beginning in 1980, adverse health effects were reported by several people due to the byproducts of the fire: carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and low oxygen levels. Statewide attention to the fire began to increase, accumulating in 1981 when a 12-year-old resident named Todd Domboski fell into a sinkhole 4 feet wide by 150 feet deep that suddenly opened beneath his feet in the backyard.
Oh my gosh, that's one of my fears.
He clung to a tree root until his cousin, 14-year-old Eric Wolfgang, saved his life by pulling him out of the hole. The plume of hot steam billowing from the hole was measured as containing a lethal level of carbon monoxide. In 1984, Congress allocated more than $42 million to relocation efforts, equivalent to $105 million today. Most of the residents accepted buyout offers and dispersed far away from the area. A few families opted to stay despite urges from the Pennsylvania officials. In 1992, Pennsylvania Governor Bob Casey invoked eminent domain on all properties in the borough, condemning all the buildings within. A subsequent legal effort by residents to have the decision reversed failed. In 2002, the U.S. Postal Service revoked Centralia's zip code 17927. In 2009, Governor Ed Rendell began the formal eviction of Centralia residents. In July 2012, the last handful of residents in Centralia lost their appeal to court decision upholding eminent domain proceedings. They were ordered again to leave. State and local officials reached an agreement with the seven remaining residents on October 29th, 2013, allowing them to live out their lives there, after which the rights of their properties would be taken through eminent domain. The Centralia Mine Fire also extended beneath the town to Briarsville, a few miles to the south. The town had to be abandoned and leveled. The Centralia area has now grown to be a tourist attraction. Visitors come to see the smoke on Centralia's empty streets and the abandoned portion of PA Route 61, popularly referred to as the Graffiti Highway. As of April 2020, efforts began to cover up Graffiti Highway by the private owner of the road. The abandoned highway was covered with dirt in April 2020, generally blocking public access to the road and the town.
How interesting.
So, my sources this week are like four different pages on Wikipedia. All the Wikipedia.
Yeah, so I had no idea that they, like, that Silent Hill was based off of, like, an actual town. Like, yeah. It's really interesting.
I thought it was. It was one of those things I knew, because I've watched a documentary on it, and they talked to the kid that fell in the hole. He's a grown-ass man now, but...
That would be so terrifying.
Yeah, I would not like that at all.
I've definitely fallen in a hole over my head before, but it wasn't a sinkhole, thankfully.
I've fallen into holes that were bigger than me, and I've been pushed into holes bigger than me, because brothers.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It's like, I grew up on 52 acres of woods, sometimes storms would take down big trees and, like, all of their root systems. And so, you know, a week ago that tree was up and there was all of this flat ground. And so if you're playing and you're running through the woods, you're like, ha ha, and then just boom, hole.
Yeah, we would, when I fell into the hole, we were actually playing flashlight tag in the dark, just in the wilderness, basically. Like, not wilderness, it was my family's, you know, house, but they have like a big field and everything.
Yeah. All right, guys, well, we're going to do a quick processing break and then we'll be right back. And we're back from that processing break. Before we jump into Amanda's story, which I'm very excited about, we actually have a shout out to do.
We would love to thank our Patreon supporters.
So we have Nerd It Through the Grapevine, and Amanda, do you want to tell them our newest patron?
Yes, we have another supporter, Jay. Thank you for jumping on and supporting our Patreon, which supports us and our podcast.
So Jay has decided to do it's not one of the tiers. They kind of created their own, which is amazeballs, and I didn't know you could do that, but...
Yeah, you don't have to join a tier. You can donate, just, you know, whatever. Subscribe with however much you want, which is really cool.
Yeah, and we very much appreciate it. If you guys don't know who Jay is, which I don't know how you could not know who Jay is.
It's like top fan for life, bro.
Like, a year on our Facebook, and...
Always supports.
He's been there since the beginning, and, like, I don't know him personally. Did you know him personally?
No.
So he found us, and that's the first time that's happened, and we absolutely adore him. So, thank you, Jay.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Nerdit, as well, not to... Not give you all love.
But. Yeah. We give you love enough. Jay needs some love.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's it for our love power hour. We just wanted to do like a quick thank you. And, you know, if you guys wanted to donate too and have us shout you out, you can go over to our Patreon, which is Patreon.com/NightmareTownPodcast. I don't know. Google it.
Check out our link tree. Check out any of our socials. You'll find a Patreon.
Yeah, there you go. Because Amanda's on this, and she made us a link tree. And if we're going to go ahead and talk about super awesome things that you can find us on, you might want to go over to our super awesome revamped website, which is NightmareTownPodcast.com. I know that one.
.com now.
Yeah, we got an M, and we got all kinds of super awesome little things that Theo has thrown in there, and like it blows my mind.
It's pretty fabulous looking. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan. Love that man. I would hope so. I've been with him for 8 years.
Yeah, I would hope you weren't just like, eh.
It's fine.
It's all right.
No, he's great. But anyway, we're going to jump back into this because it is actually getting closer to time for me to get ready to go to work.
Yeah, you got
to
go to work. Thankfully, my story is a little short and sweet. But yeah, we're just going to jump into it.
Tell me a story.
So my story comes from a website called backpackerverse.com, which has been around for a while. It honestly kind of reminds me of like early 2000s, like GeoCities websites kind of thing. It's just, I don't know, it's really neat. It's just kind of a small little place. But there's a section for backpackers and hikers to share just creepy things that they've encountered while hiking, which is really cool. Right up my alley. So I found a story on there called It Came from the Fog.
Ooh.
And it says that the story was updated on February 9th of 2020. So this is a fairly recent tale, which is cool that it's not just like from 2003 or something. It's more recent. So our writer starts out as saying, there are things that happen in everyday life that we're unable to explain. Images, sounds, and movements that frighten our psyche and question if what was witnessed is actually what happened or just part of our wild imagination. Which I love because that kind of reminds me of like a throwback when Betty would sometimes write up really cool intros to our subjects.
Those are usually pretty hard to do.
Yeah, very hard to do.
I think my favorite one was for Boom.
Don't always have time, but yeah, Boom was a good one.
Yeah.
Anywho, back to the story. The writer states that one of these events happened to me last month. I live in California in the San Francisco Bay Area. I like to take frequent hikes through the trails close by to my apartment. I've always had this fascination with nature. It's always been a personal hobby of mine. I love taking in landscapes of forest, absorbing the peaceful environment around me. Usually I take walks with friends who share my passion, but oftentimes I feel like they can slow me down. A lot of my buddies aren't in the best physical shape,
same,
so they can often complain and move kind of slowly. On this particular day, I got home from work around 5 and decided to take a hike by myself. I set off on the trail a little later. It was cool outside, so I decided to jog the hike, which was about 4 miles in length. I passed by a few other people on the trail, but not many. There didn't seem to be a lot of people hiking this day. As I neared the end of the first... Wait, what? Sorry, this is a types of story, so there's typos that threw me off. As I neared the end of the fur, you... That is not English. I'm not sure if it's trying to say fir like fir tree or first like street. Okay. We're just going to make it up.
Okay.
As I neared the end of the first street you pass, it started to get a little darker out, and I stopped seeing anyone on the trail. For some reason, even though I didn't see anybody, I got the eerie sense that I was being followed by something.
Mm-mm.
I started to quicken my pace. After the halfway point, dusk was upon me, and out of nowhere, it started to get foggy out. The air around me started to turn into a dark gray haze. At first, it was just a thin layer, but as my hike continued, it started to get so bad that I couldn't see 6 feet in front of me. My heart rate started jacking up with the feeling of something still following me through the fog. I wanted to turn around to convince myself I was imagining things, but I was too afraid to stop. Good job, bud. Listen to your gut.
Yep.
Sick of feeling paranoid, I came to a sudden stop.
Fuck.
Never mind, let us down.
Ugh.
I had high hopes for you, dude.
This is how you die.
I turned around, and there through the haze was a woman standing a few yards away from me.
Mm.
I knew there was no one else on the trail, as I didn't pass anybody after the halfway point. Panicking, I started running as fast as I could back to my car. I looked back again, and the woman was still the same distance away. She just stood there, looking right through me. I just kept running, hoping to get away from the mysterious figure. My heart was pounding, sweat was dripping from my forehead as I breathed heavily. I was about to have a panic attack until I noticed the fog was suddenly disappearing around me. I looked back and the mysterious woman had vanished as soon as she came. I kept running quickly to the end of the trail, finally reaching my car. Ever since that day, I've been too afraid to take hikes alone. That was 1 month ago. I've replayed the events in my head, trying to convince myself I'm not crazy. I don't know what the mysterious figure in the fog wanted, but I feel in my bones that I barely escaped with my life that day. And that's from someone named John R.
Well, first off, John, I'm going to talk right to you, so I'm going to get closer to the mic. Don't go out in the woods by yourself. Secondly, ew, jogging?
Ugh. Yeah, that's not a fun pastime.
No. People that jog hate themselves.
Also, if it's foggy and you feel like you're being followed, why would you stop?
Because it's a guy.
Don't just stop. Like, you just keep going. You just go fast. And
you go faster. And
first of all, you don't do it in the first place.
Exactly. I mean, jogging. Ugh.
Yeah.
And you should only be jogging if someone's following you anyway. So, I mean, on that part, you had it right. But
yeah.
Also, I don't know. I'm in a really weird mood, guys. I am not being nice today. And I still have to go to work. I'm sorry. I'm not. I'm lying. I'm not sorry. Sometimes you guys need to hear this. You need to hear it from the nice one. Not to do fucking stupid things like going running by yourself in the woods. What the hell's wrong with you, John?
And I mean, just like, the minute it gets foggy, just like...
And you don't have a master sword because you're jogging.
Yeah.
Unless you have, like, some epic kind of, like, LARPing thing that you're practicing for, in which case I applaud thee, and yes, I'd be down for that. I mean, I'm not going to do it personally, but I'd be okay.
Just not alone in the fog.
Actually, I don't know how I would feel if I saw somebody jog past me with a sword.
It depends. Does it look like they're running towards somebody or running away from somebody with said sword?
I mean, either way, it'd be terrifying, because if they're running towards somebody, you're like, I'm about to see somebody get murdered.
Yeah.
And if they're running away from something, it's like, okay, that guy has a sword.
It's like, crap, now I have to start running.
Exactly. No. I'm stuck on the running thing.
I tried to get into the running thing.
Ew.
Once, and it was just not for me. Not for me. Not a fan.
No. The last time I went running through the woods is because my brother was chasing me.
I did do track briefly as a child, but it was like 50-yard dashes. Like, it was running for like 10 seconds, and that was it.
So, I believe I've mentioned multiple times I have two older brothers. There was one time I told the eldest that I wanted to be a faster runner because I played the sports ball when I was younger. And he was like, yeah, I can help you with that. I'm like, how are you supposed to help me run faster?
Yeah.
His solution was that he was going to chase me through the woods. And every time I slowed down, he smacked me with a rope.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. That's the brother I like.
It's not sadistic at all.
That's the brother I like, though.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It's the eldest.
That sounds like an eldest sibling to me, honestly, though.
Like, he's a father now.
Like, I definitely had a sibling one time just put, like, thumbtacks across the floor.
Oh, God.
And was like, let's play obstacle course. And so then we were just like, well, me mainly was like, straddling the skinny hallway with, like, my hands and my feet, like, crawling across the walls to, like, get across. And then Mom came home.
Oh, God.
And was like, what are you guys doing? And it was like, we're playing obstacle course.
Oh, my God. The innocence of children.
To his defense, he also did it, too. But, like, I was the one that went first.
Obviously. He set up the course. That's how it goes. He set up the course. You have to try it out. And
obstacle course was like our favorite thing. We both watched Guts. Yeah. I mean, Legends of the Hidden Temple. I was all about that. So I was like, yeah. But to make it more dangerous, let's add thumbtacks on the floor.
Oh, God. Nope.
Floor is made of lava.
You might as well just
sharp edition.
Throw out an entire bucket of Legos. Same
That
energy.
Probably would have been more dangerous, to be honest. Right? I don't know. Legos freaking hurt.
Okay, friend. Do you want to pick our... Is that all?
Yes, that's all.
Okay.
Short and sweet story today.
Do you want to pick our next episode while I do our spiel?
Yeah.
Where's my phone? Did I even bring it in? Let's see, I have the thing on my phone. We can just spin it. I don't think I brought my phone in here. Okay, guys, well,
I'll just pick one.
While Amanda's doing that, if you have your own stories to tell or ideas for the hat, you can go ahead and hit us up at nightmaretown18@gmail.com over on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. You can find us on Patreon, like I said earlier, just go ahead and Google that. Or you can go over to our website, which is nightmaretown.com. I already said that, didn't I? Did I? I said it earlier.
Oh, yes, we said that earlier.
Yeah, so it's nightmaretown.com. There's also this really awesome thing on there where you can go and you can submit your own stories. And it's really cool because Theo set it up that every time you refresh that page, a new story pops up. But we only have like 3 on there. So maybe you should go over and tell us your spooky stories and then click the button saying that we could talk about them on the podcast. Because if you guys did that, then we'd have more stories and we could put them on there and we could have them Tales from the Neighborhood Watch.
Yes. I do have more Tales from the Neighborhood Watch coming up. Probably the next episode, we'll throw in a few more tales from our Anon friend that shared with us last time.
Mr. Anonymous.
Yes.
All right, friend. Well, what's our next episode?
Our next episode is Scarecrow.
Ooh. Ooh, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all of them, but still. Yeah. I think the coffee's starting to kick in because I'm talking faster. All right, guys, we're going to hop off here so I can get ready for work. But
until next time,
tell us a story.
Bye.